Welcome to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary.
Well, Carlton fans, he's back in the navy blue after 6 years at Adelaide. Eddie Betts has today returned, a future fourth round pick making its way to the Crows. Buddy returns. He'll start next year in round one as a 33-year-old. If that Carlton-Richmond game couldn't get any bigger, well, it's going to go to new lengths. Eddie Betts will be unveiled once again in the navy blue, and I want to hear from you. 1300 736 736. If you've been calling Trade Radio throughout the day, it is a different number on the Westmix open line. 1300 736 736. Is this going to entice Blues fans to buy memberships for next year? Will you be there in round one to cheer them on? You're going to see Eddie Betts run out in navy blue. Sam Doherty most likely back to co-captain the footy club. We're going to see Tom Papley, as I think we've learnt now over the last 48, 72 hours, increasingly likely to join Carlton. Jack Martin could be alongside him in a blue jumper as well. So let us know your thoughts. 1300 736 736. Quite a bit of other news to get to. The Blues, they've also landed, or pretty much landed, another player from Hawthorn today. So we'll get to more of that throughout the next hour. But firstly, let's have a look at today's big moments, all thanks to Drinkwise.
Today's big moments for Drinkwise. You won't miss a trade moment if you drink wise.
There's some big news at the Suns as well, and we'll get to the latest on Joe Danaher and whether that can happen over the next 49 hours. We're now into 49-hour mode on the Telstra trade period. It's ticking down. So many deals to get done. But one that officially happened today, the only formal deal of today being Monday, is that Eddie Betts returning in a fairy tale move back to the Blues. This is how he spoke about it when speaking at Icon Park.
Yeah, it was. You know, I'm a life member at the Carlton Football Club. I played 186 games, I think. And, you know, this club has always been in my heart. And, yeah, it's a fairy tale and homecoming as well, if you want to put it that way. So just looking forward to getting stuck into it.
So it's a one-year deal for Eddie Betts at Carlton. He probably had two on the table from Gold Coast. He could have moved up there for two seasons, but as a family option, has chosen to move back to the city of Victoria. 1 year left on his deal at the Crows. The Crows will pay a portion of that, but I think because the future fourth-round pick is the one that's transacted, I don't think the Crows are paying all too much of it. Had it have been a second or third-round selection, we may have seen the Crows pay a bit more of that and they've been, you know, be transacted a bit more. But considering they're only getting a future fourth-round pick, when it comes to it, will be a 50s or a 60s selection, I think the Blues are paying a bit more of this than has been reported. We'll get now to Stephen Silvani. He's the list boss at the Blues. Took a bit of, his arm needed to be twisted a bit, Stephen Silvani. David Teague was the one driving this, the new Carlton coach. He played with Eddie Betts all the way back in the mid-2000s. He then coached him when he was forward line coach at the Crows. They made the final, the grand final, when David Teague was forward line coach. Betts was a big part of that. Now Stephen Silvani finally ticked it off, and here he is speaking today.
We're delighted to have him. He's a past Carlton player, but he returns after a stint at Adelaide. But we're just delighted to have Eddie Betts back at our footy club, both with his experience on the field and off the field.
And the romance of it, Eddie coming back to Carlton.
I guess there's a bit of romance there, but I think he'll bring some real potency up in our forward line. And as I said before, you know, his experience with our younger group, both on and off the field, will be fantastic. Mm.
37 goals this year for Eddie Betts. He played 21 games, was dropped for that game late in the season, ironically against the Blues. But he's a proven goal scorer, 600 majors at the level. He's played 316 games across his journey and played the 132 matches for the Crows. So he's going to be loved and remembered in Adelaide for all that he did, the Eddie Betts pocket. I heard Kane Corns speaking about it earlier. He couldn't move more than 5 metres in the Adelaide airport without getting a selfie. He is dearly loved in South Australia, but this is a family decision. Eddie Betts and his young family move back to Victoria. He's got at least 1 year to run at the Blues. 1300 736 736. Give us your take on what you make of Eddie Betts officially now back at Princess Park, or Icon Park as they call it in the new. Justin Reid, he's the list boss at the Crows. This is his take on the Eddie Betts deal.
Oh, look, Eddie's a fantastic person, and there's a lot of goodwill here by the Adelaide Footy Club, Eddie, and the Carlton Football Club. So he's been fantastic for the Footy Club and our supporters over the last 6 years, and he'll always be welcome to Adelaide Footy Club.
In terms of an impact of a player who's sort of come for another club, I mean, he's made a big of impact of any, so I'm sure that the fan base will be disappointed to see him go, though.
Oh, look, I think there's always disappointment when you lose a quality player like Eddie, but at the same time, we're rejuvenating the list, so it's exciting about the youth that we've got coming through as well. And as I said, Eddie, he'll be back at Adelaide Oval, I assume, next year, and we'll get a good opportunity then to, I guess, say goodbye.
That's already in the calendar for next year. I can't wait to see the fixture and see where the Crows host the Blues next year, Eddie Betts, and the reception he'll get. I think it'll be an overwhelming positive one. So exciting to see Eddie Betts play. And, you know, we're thinking maybe around two Thursday or Friday night just to get the juices flowing. The Blues play Richmond in round one. Imagine a round two game, Carlton travelling over to the Adelaide Oval and seeing Eddie Betts do his work in his Eddie Betts pocket again. 1300 736 736. Give us your take on that. Plenty of other news flying around today. Ben King, bit of a shock this morning. So many links to St Kilda and the Saints revealing last week their intention to go and get Ben King in 12 months' time. We've put an end to that today in one foul swoop. He is joining and is staying now at the Gold Coast Suns until the end of 2022, a two-year extension on top of his deal for next season. This is him speaking on Telstra Trade Radio earlier today.
Well, I said from the start when I got drafted that I was going to wait till the end of the year to make a decision. And I really enjoyed my first year. And I guess the off-season's kind of given me an opportunity to reflect on my first year and reflect on the club and our future going forward. So, I've been thinking about the whole off-season and then, it was an easy decision to make.
So Ben King at the Gold Coast Suns for at least the next three seasons. A bit of a blow to the Saints, who had already spoken about pairing Ben with his brother Max at Moorabbin. Mark Pitney, the Hawthorn ruckman, turning down an offer to stay at Waverley Park. He's today requested a trade to Carlton. So the latest player to move from the Hawks to the Blues. We know that they've had strong history. Andrew Russell was a big part of the fitness team at the Blues. So obviously relations that cross both Carlton and Hawthorn. Zach Smith, he's set to return to the Gold Coast Suns. That deal expected to go down tomorrow. It's going to be a two-year deal for him. He's going to be the backup behind Jared Witts, so a bit of ready-made maturity now for the Gold Coast Suns behind Jared Witts in their number two ruck slot. As part of the Pitney move from Hawthorn to Carlton, I'm expecting Andrew Phillips to request a trade from Carlton now to Essendon. He's met with the Bombers and has some interest there, so we're watching that space to see if a formal trade request comes through. The Adelaide Crows, they're set to announce Matthew Nicks as the head coach tomorrow. We thought it might happen today. The Crows maybe just buying a bit more clean air for that one to go through tomorrow. But Matthew Nicks is all the talk to head to the Crows as their senior coach. And I'm keen to get some more news on Joe Danaher as the hour unfolds. But that's all the latest trade news. Thanks to Drinkwise. You won't miss a moment if you drink wise. We'll head now to the Westmix open line. Josh is with us in Berwick. Josh, good evening.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Well, thank you.
That's good. Passionate Carlton fan here, loving the Eddie Betts trade. At first, I was skeptical of bringing in such a, his age doesn't really fit the criteria after, but I think the morale around the club is that we're, pretty buzzing right now to have him. I think him mixed in with our younger players are going to be flying next year. And just your other thoughts with the Papley deal, when do you reckon that's going to get done?
Just on Eddie Betts, so starts next year as a 33-year-old. It has gone away from their list build a little bit. We saw Dale Thomas get delisted at the end of the season. He's younger than Eddie Betts. So we thought, maybe the Blues were going to be up in a fight. They were a little bit split at the club. All the talk early on was that David Teague was the one driving Betts. Stephen Silvani and the list management team weren't so keen on it. But I think as this one's unfolded, they've realised that not only will Eddie provide a marketing factor, he's going to provide leadership for the young Indigenous players, and one of those to arrive will be Jack Martin. So Eddie Betts and the mentorship that he can play with some of those young Indigenous players will be crucial. As for Tom Papley, this is what Stephen Silvani had to say about that situation when speaking today. We don't have Stephen Silvani just yet. We'll get to that in a moment. Thanks for your call, Josh. Tom's in Sandringham, wants to talk about the Saints. Tom, good evening.
Yeah, good day, mate. How are you? Just wondering if you think Jake Carlisle might get moved or maybe to North Melbourne, maybe?
Yeah, it would be a good fit because I've been talking for a long time. I reckon the Roos do need another key defender. They missed out on Dougal Howard. He looks to be heading to the Saints. but I made some calls on Carlisle today because with Dougal Howard set to join the Saints, it would make sense, but it looks more like that Nathan Brown will be the one to fall out at the Saints. He's yet to be offered a contract to stay at Moorabbin next year, so maybe it looks like Howard coming in, Brown going out. I think Carlisle at this stage, unless there's a late curveball, I'm expecting him to be at the Saints next year. Sticking with that footy club, Phillips with us in Craigieburn. Good evening. You with us there, Philip?
Oh, yeah. Hello, mate. Sorry. Oh, I didn't hear. Look, I just want to talk about St Kilda too. All these deals and everything else that St Kilda sort of said they were going to get. How are they going to go? Like, you know, I mean, are they going to get anybody or are they just going to...
Taking it back to the start of this morning, Ben King, as we read it, was still on the table for next year. So the Saints have made a lot of noise about going after Ben King in 12 months' time. He's put an end to that. He's re-signed with the Suns until the end of 2022. So if you're looking at next year's draft, the way I saw it was the Saints were always going to leave the future first-round pick for next year on the table for a pursuit of Ben King. Now that's not happening. I'm expecting that future first-round pick to form part of the deal to try and lure Bradley Hill. So I'm looking at a scenario where you could go 12 and a future first for Bradley Hill, 18 for Ryder and Dougal Howard from Port Adelaide. And then you've got to get Daniel Butler, who, you know, young player, fourth round pick. The Tigers don't want too much back in return. The other one that we'll have to keep our tabs on will be Zach Jones. And then when deals go out for Jack Stephen and Josh Bruce, that's when I expect the Zach Jones one to get done. So with Ben King re-signing with the Gold Coast Suns, it's almost a blessing in disguise for the Saints' pursuit of Bradley Hill next year because it allows them and frees up that future first-round pick, and that's how I see them potentially being done from here. Thanks for your call. Brad's with us in Point Cook. Fire away, Brad.
Hello, mate. How are you going?
Good, thanks.
Collingwood supporter here. Hearing things has just finished work about Aish, Wills and whatever else. Is there anything on the cards or, you know, Aisha Frio, is there anything coming through at all?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Aisha one is one that's really taken hold over the weekend and into today. He's got a relationship with the new Fremantle coach, Justin Longmuir, who was Aisha's defensive coach at the Pies up until, you know, recent times when he was appointed at the Dockers. So he's part of the wooing process to get James Aisha to the Dockers. Three-year deal the Dockers have come with him. So 1 year to run for Aisha at the Pies. The Dockers have offered two more on top of that. And I think this is probably the first domino in the Pies opening up some cap room. Not that James Aisha will be on too much, but it will free up a little bit of money for when they have to get the deals done for Tagoe, Grundy and more. So first one, I don't think it is definitely at the end of it. Tom Phillips is a name that's come up, a bit of interest in him. Matt Schoenberg is the one the Pies would love to move if they got the opportunity, but I just don't think there's the interest now in Matt Schoenberg that there may have been. So when it comes to replacing players at the Pies, I think Aish and Schoenberg would be among the most replaceable because you've got Tom Langdon to come back from injury next year. You've got John Noble, who really came on in the last month of the season, and Isaac Quaynor, who we've only just scratched the surface on. So I see the half-back and the small defensive area at the Pies as one that is pretty replaceable, and that's why we've seen James Aish get targeted by the Dockers, and I can see the Pies allowing him to walk in the next couple of days. Thanks for your call. On Ben King, Keegan's with us in Corio. Good evening.
Hello. Can I speak to Mitch, please?
You're coming through loud and clear, Keegan.
Hi, Mitch. I've just done it first time, long time.
Caller. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, do you have a spare bed or a room at your house? Because on October 8th, John Ralph said to put your house on Ben King playing for the Saints in 2021, and I've gone and done that, and now I don't have anywhere to live.
Okay, well, we might have to get Ralphie on the line. You know, there was a bit of interest on the Saints. We thought they were, you know, probably gone a bit hard there to suggest put your house on it. But Ben King is going to be staying at the Gold Coast Suns until the end of 2022. Thanks for your call, Keegan. Jordan's with us in Brisbane. Good evening.
Hey, Mitch. How are you, mate?
Good, thank you.
Away. Hey, just regarding the Bradley Hill and St Kilda deal, do you know if St Kilda met with Freo again since everything fell apart late last week? And also, do you know if they've tabled an offer yet for Dougal Howard and Ryder?
So I'm not certain whether the Saints and the Dockers have met again. I'm sure they would have had some sort of communication. It was last Wednesday or Thursday when that communication broke down. So it's almost been a week since then. I think they would have spoken. I'm not sure if they've definitively met or not. And when it comes to Dougal Howard, again, not sure if the 18 is on the table, but that is what the Power are demanding. They want a first-round pick for Dougal Howard. And seeing now that Orazio Fantasia is not joining the Power, the need for the Power to free up money, probably it wasn't there as much as it was maybe a week ago. So I see a real possibility that unless the Saints come with pick 18 for Dougal Howard, there's every chance he rejoins and sees out at least another year of his contract at Alberton. We'll head to Queensland. Rob's with us, wants to chat about Tom Papley. Rob?
Yeah, Blue supporter. Yeah, they say Tom Papley, we've got pick 9, and that's worth 1469 in points. What's he really worth? Because everyone's saying that's over.
I think on the open market, Tom Papley will be worth around a pick 15, but to get him out of a 4-year contract at the Swans, you do need to pay overs. So I can see why the values, you know, there's a bit of discrepancy in the values, Rob. This is what Stephen Silvani had to say today about Tom Papley and where the negotiations sat.
We're in, obviously, discussions with Sydney. So, you know, we're hopeful that we can get a deal done in the next sort of 48 hours.
Has there been any inkling that they might be relenting on that willingness to keep him?
I think they have said to us that, they'd love Tom to stay at their football club, and he is a contracted player. So, we're hopeful we can get a deal done that's fair and reasonable for both footy clubs.
Just hearing that snippet from Stephen Silvani, there's a real feeling that Tom Papley 1 has moved a bit, and we could see it go down before Wednesday's deadline. 1300 736 736. Have your say on the open line for Westmix. Those in the know Westmix is the go. More of your calls and more news up after the break.
You're listening to Time on Trade.
You don't know.
You're listening to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary. A trade news update for Beaumont Tiles. During Beaumont's mega floor clearance, it's goodbye ugly.
Well, if you've just jumped in your car this Monday evening and you've missed the news, Eddie Betts is officially a Carlton footballer again. 6 years after he walked to the Crows as a free agent, he returns. He'll start next year as a 33-year-old. He's got 600 goals to his name and 316 games. Let's see how he goes next year. He's on a one-year deal. The Crows to pay a bit of his wage, but not too much. The Crows get a future fourth-round pick in return. 1300 736 736, have your say on that. As for Joe Danaher, we're expecting this one to be one of the last that goes down to the wire. Matthew Lloyd dropped a bit of knowledge this morning when speaking about Sydney's current offer for Joe Danaher.
My belief is, and strong belief is, that currently as we sit here right now, the offer from the Sydney Swans to Essendon is a first and a second round draft pick. So I look at that, Sydney's first round pick is pick 5, and their next second round pick is 25. So that is currently the offer the Swans have put to the Essendon Football Club, and it's a flat no.
Yeah.
So as we sit here right now, that has been the offer from the Swans to the Essendon Football Club.
If that's the best they can do with 3 days to go in the trade period, that's not getting that deal done. Would it change if pick 9 somehow gets added to this scenario? And 9 is the one, obviously, and our listeners will know this, currently belonging to Carlton, but that pick is one they are prepared to involve in discussions around Tom Papley with the Swans.
I asked that question, Damer, around people at Essendon, and still 5 and 9, that doesn't interest the Bombers either. So that's where, unless a player is involved and a quality player, I don't see this deal being done.
Will it get done with that pick? Let us know, 1300 736 736, that proposal that Matthew Lloyd has put forward. Would you accept that if you were in the Bombers' shoes? That's the latest news. All thanks to Beaumont's Tiles. Get rid of ugly with Beaumont's floor clearance. You'll be happy you chose Beaumont's. Let's head back to the Westmix open line. Dave's with us in Craigieburn. Wants to chat about Eddie Betts, who joined the Blues again today. Dave?
Yeah, g'day, buddy. Mate, I'm just wondering, did Eddie Betts walk from the club, or did he ask to be traded, or did they push him out?
This time around or the last time, back 6 years ago?
This time, from the Crows.
Now, he had a year to run, and he definitely asked to be traded back to the Blues. I don't think the Crows were going to stand in his way with the wage that he had and, you know, the fact that he was dropped late in the season. I think they were pretty happy to accommodate this, but this was Eddie Betts driven. He wanted to get back and play again in Victoria, get his family back to Melbourne, and he's chosen in a pretty romantic move to go back and play at Icon Park again, Dave.
Only because how do Adelaide have to end up paying some of his wage if he walked on the club?
Well, you know, as I said, I don't think the Crows were too upset to let him go. But as part of that, you know, because it's such a heavy wage, I don't think the Blues would have taken it on. So, you know, when you break it down, and I'm only just using these as gut feel, I reckon it's probably 70% Eddie driving this, 30% the Crows sort of happy to let him walk, and that's therefore why they pay a portion of his wage. As I said, it's not much because it is a future fourth-round pick. The Crows get next to nothing back in return, but they did admit today they are paying a part of it. Thanks for your call. Sebastian's in Mernda on the Westmix open line. Come in, Sebastian.
Hi, how's it going, Mitch?
Well, thank you.
Do you reckon Josh Bruce will move clubs?
Well, it's one that has been on the cards for a couple of weeks now, and we're still yet to see any form of serious update. As Mark McGowan reported last night on afl.com.au, the Crows and this pick 13 could form part of it with Alex Keith. So right now the Dogs are trying to bring Alex Keith through the door and Josh Bruce. They've got pick 13. Their next pick isn't until 32. The Saints have been pretty steadfast on requiring more than 32. So I see the potential of a three-way trade happening here with the Dogs, the Crows and the Saints. It would allow probably, you know, you might see the Crows end up with pick 13, send Keith and a pick in the 20s out. That pick in the 20s, then it gets used and bundled up for Bruce. So there's going to be all sorts of different machinations, but there is one scenario that I've seen and heard of involving the Dogs pick 13, but remains to be seen on whether they're going to allow that to bring Bruce and Keith through the door. Alex joins us next in Melbourne, wants to chat about the Pies. Good evening, Alex.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Well, thank you.
That's good. I was just wondering, with the tight cap space, and I was reading today about the James H offer with Port with Frio, who else do you think that we could get out the door so that we could free up some salary cap for Grundy, Moore and DeGoey?
Who was that player again? Sorry, Alex.
With James H being offered 3 years from the Dockers.
Yeah, so I don't think it's going to be that much money. So James H wouldn't have been on that much money at the Pies because, you know, a year to run on his deal, he's not in their top 15 players or that sort of thing. So I'm looking at James H's contract and I'm looking at it, you know, not much more than the average wage, which is about $380,000 per player right now. It is going to help in some way, but if it is as we believe it, how tight the Pies cap is, they may need to move someone else on. And that's why Matt Schoenberg's name continues to come up. He's got a year to run on his contract as well. Found his way out of the best 22 late in the season. So the Pies are going to need to be smart with how they do it, unless they're not going to be able to squeeze all of them in. The other part of this is we saw Jamie Elliott re-sign last week. I don't think he's on a great deal of money. It's around the average wage for Jamie Elliott. He's got a two-year deal, knocked back more money at the Lions and the Demons, expecting him to be on about the average wage for the next 2 years. Thanks for your call. Matt's in Perth, wants to chat about the Lions. Good evening.
Yeah, g'day, Mitch. Love the show, mate.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering with the Calamachi trade, whether there's another trade sort of holding that up or they're looking to concentrate on someone else before they go after him?
Yeah, I think that all I've learned on this Archie one in the last few days is that they're just a part on there where they seem. So I'm just bringing up the indicative draft order right now. I think that they're just a little bit split, the Lions and the Suns, as to where they'd rate Calamachi. I reckon the Suns would love pick 21 to be on the table for Calamachi. But then you look further down, the Lions have got pick 34. That's the pick they're most likely going to be wanting to put on the table. So there's a bit to play out. These things tend to happen and they find some middle ground. It might be a pick 21 and something else finds its way to the Lions with Calamachi. But I just can't see a scenario when we get to Wednesday night and this one hasn't happened. I think there's enough goodwill between the Lions and the Suns to make the Archie deal drop and make that happen. Thanks for your call. Steve's in Brunswick next. Wants to chat about Ollie Wines. Good evening, Steve.
Hey, Mitch. How are you?
Good, thank you.
As an interested Carlton member, I'd just like to know, I mean, Cripps needs desperate help in the midfield. And this story about Ollie Wines has me intrigued. But I just wanted to know where it stemmed from and if there's any truth to it.
So the reports today via the Herald Sun suggesting that Ollie Wines' manager went forward to the Blues and raised his name as someone that they could consider or should propose a trade for. All parties, being his manager today, have denied that, as well as Port Adelaide. I think the Port Adelaide response today to this story was pretty irrelevant because they would have no idea what is being said between Ollie Wines' manager and the Carlton Footy Club. But Ollie Wines' manager, Nick Geeshan, has come forward and spoken to Fox Footy saying there's no truth in it. We probably have to take him at his word. The one thing I would say about this, the story written by the Herald Sun wouldn't have been off nothing. There would have been some communication between Carlton and Eddie Betts' manager. Just a matter of who started it, we'll probably never know. But the way these things work, Steve, is so many clubs ask about so many players. You know, you talk about Buddy Franklin. There's every chance Collingwood has asked a question about Buddy Franklin. It's just how it works. Every club meeting with list managers from rival clubs, meeting with player agents, they're going to ask the question. So just a matter of how serious it was. Clearly serious enough for the Herald Sun to write a story, but all the parties around it today have come forward and denied its legitimacy as we go to air tonight. Thanks for your call. Mark's with us in Craigieburn. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening, mate. Mitch, I just wanted to say, how likely do you think Papley deal gets done? I'm just hearing that, like, the Swans aren't really, like, wanting to budge, and you guys are saying that Soss sounds confident. I just don't really know, like, what's the percentage likelihood that he'll get there?
If you had asked me last week, I would have said 50-50. Now I'm probably saying 70-30 that'll happen. I'm expecting Carlton's pick 9 to be put on the table, maybe Papley and something else making its way to the Blues. But I just think now that they've spoken again today, there's enough communication going on between Carlton and Sydney that this type of thing is going to pick up in the next couple of days. When you look at a few other deals, like comparing to the Danaher one, I think that's a little bit further away from happening. So the way I read it right now, I think there's enough goodwill going on between Carlton and Sydney that should see Tom Papley leave his 4-year contract at the Swans. Thanks for your call. 1300 736 736. Taking all your calls over the next half hour. Give us your take on what your club should do in the next 48 hours of the Telstra trade period. With Mitch Cleary, with Time on Trade.
You're listening to Time on Trade.
You don't?
You're listening to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary.
Eddie Betts officially back at Carlton 6 years after he walked out to the Crows. Blues fans, what do you make of it? 1300 736 736. Just want to get to a bit of another news at the Crows. Right now, Josh Jenkins' career is in limbo. We're 50 hours out from the end of the Telstra trade period. Both he and the club have come out pretty early before even the start of the trade period and said he's on the table, but right now there is no interest. Keen to get your take. 1300 736 736. Should your club pick up Josh Jenkins? In the last 5 years, he's had 4 seasons kicking 40 goals or more, and one of those was a 60-goal season. He's proven he knows where the goals are. I wouldn't be surprised if Essendon came late for him if Joe Danaher does end up getting that move to Sydney. What do you make of it? 1300 736 736. This is his former Crows teammate Patrick Dangerfield speaking about the lack of interest in Jenkins last week.
It's a bit bemusing for mine, to be honest, and I'm a little bit biased because
I must say I'm the same, but
I'm good mates with him, but I try and remove that hat. I just look at his form when he has played. Yeah, I think he has a lot to offer AFL level. He's a goal kicker at the end of the day, and I'm a bit biased, Kane, with the way that I play. You still got to kick a winning score to win games.
Yeah.
You have never seen a team, you know, win a game without scoring more than the opposition, and he hits the scoreboard. He's a good contested mark, and he's a really intelligent player. I think quite often, you know, we look at players for what they can't do rather than what they can do. So I'd hope that, you know, he'll find somewhere to play because I think a team would really benefit from him.
Geelong superstar Patrick Dangerfield there speaking about his former Crows teammate Josh Jenkins. What do you make of it? 1-300-736-736 on the West Mix open line. That's where we find Will in Ballarat. Good evening, Will.
Yeah, mate, thanks for taking my call. Look, I've just got a question generally regarding when players leave contracts early. For example, in the Eddie Betts case, it was my understanding, and I'm probably wrong, that if they opt to leave before their contract expires, they don't receive payments, the outstanding amount of money on that contract. Is that true? Would you mind just clarifying how that works for these discussions?
So in a deal like this, more often than not, the remaining contract is taken on by the new club. So that's why you're seeing the Crows pay part of it. The Blues would have said, all right, well, if we're going to bring Eddie Betts through the door, let's say it's $500,000. It's around that ballpark. We're not going to pay all in that. You might see a scenario where the Crows are paying $150,000 of it and the Blues are paying $350,000. But in more cases than not, Luke, we're going to see scenarios where those contracts are taken on. That's why we're looking at the Josh Jenkins one as another example. And the Crows have come out and said, well, we're happy to pay a large chunk of this. The new club won't have to take on the $500,000 to $600,000 left on each of the next 2 years. That's why players sign these contracts. It gives them security. So when they do move on from a footy club, there is that security there to earn what was agreed upon at the time. Thanks for your call. Liam's with us in Brighton. Wants to chat about a new hawk that we're expected to see unveiled in the next couple of days. Liam?
Hey, Mitch. I was ringing up to inquire what is happening with the Hawks and Jonathan Patton. And I was also wondering if Adam Bonner will be involved in the deal due to it's taking its time to figure out so far.
Yeah, it's a good question. So we all thought John Patton was going to be one of the first deals to drop. I think the only complication that I can see on this is the Giants just saying, well, the Hawks are willing to give him a 3-year contract. We want more in return than a future fourth round or a fourth round pick, which is going to end up in the 50s or 60s. So I think that the Hawks aren't wanting to pay up too much because they're taking on that contract for next year, which is around $600,000 a season. They're going to pay years 2 and 3 as well, which will be less than that to smooth out his deal over the life of 3 years. But that's what I see is the haggling. The Giants have got a bit else going on. They're going to bring in Sam Jacobs as well. So I think they're all intertwined in some way, but this deal has been on the cards since May. I can't see a scenario where John Patton isn't a Hawthorn footballer by the end of it. We're talking right now, probably haggling between picks 45 and 60 as ballpark, and that's what's holding up the John Patton deal. Thanks for your call. Luke's with us in Perth. It's good afternoon to you, Luke.
Mate, best radio show on the trade period, mate. You do a good job. Two quick ones, mate. I just want to know, first of all, with the Swannies, we're obviously dealing with this clown, Danaher, but just want to know if the Riley situation with Adelaide, if we're looking any further into that, and also Louis Taylor, and then also looking at what Essendon is asking. Now, I haven't read the news for a few weeks, but did Joe Danaher cure cancer or send a dog to space or do something else that makes him worth 2 first-round picks and a player? Are they kidding me? This guy's got no groins, and, mate, if the Swans turn this up, mate, and you know, give Essendon what they want, I reckon I'm just about done with them, mate, to be honest.
Yeah, especially when you look at Danaher and he's a free agent next year, a restricted free agent. So the Swans would have to pay more than the Bombers could match in order to get him for free. But I'm with you. I reckon 2 first-round picks, even that, plus a player is well and truly overs for Joe Danaher. But the Swans, they're the ones that have made the running on this. They're the ones that are trying to get him out of the remaining 1 year of his contract. So they need to pay overs in the market. I still think 2 first-round picks, including pick 5 as part of that, is way too much. When it comes to the player, we know the Bombers are going to target all the stars. I just think the Bombers need to be out getting a key four. That's why I'm raising Josh Jenkins' name, because as it sits right now, unless Cale Hooker goes forward, which would leave a hole in Essendon's defence as it is, McKernan, Brown and Stewart are not going to win this footy club a flag. If that's your three-pronged forward line, it's not going to win that club a flag. So that's why you're seeing Essendon ask about Blakey. They're going to be asking about Tom McCartan. And in the same breath, I can see why the Swans are holding this one up. Because Joe Danaher is a free agent next year, I just think it adds a layer of complication to the whole deal. You talk about Louis Taylor and Riley Knight. Herald Sun reporting today that the Swans are coming after Louis Taylor in a meaningful way. They have offered him a contract. So I think right now, if you were to say Taylor or Knight, Riley Knight being from the Crows, more likely to be Louis Taylor heading to the Swans than his Crows counterpart. Thanks for your call. Nick's with us in Mansfield. Good evening, Nick.
G'day, Mitch. I want to talk about Dan Butler.
Yep.
I'm a Richmond member, and this kid can play well. He's a premiership player, and I just can't believe how people are just overlooking him. He is a really good in and under player, can play in the back line, can play in the wing, and he is a magnificent goal sneak. I just cannot understand why people haven't targeted him. And Richmond have said, look, just go, son, and we won't hold you up. I just can't believe how no one has grabbed him yet.
It's incredible goodwill from the Tigers. They did it last year with the likes of, you know, Corey Ellis, Anthony Miles, Sam Lloyd. They all left for next to nothing. You look at Richmond's draft 10 right now. It's picks 19, 38, 39 and 41. So four picks inside 41. It's not a bad hand for a reigning premier. They're not going to get anything like that for Dan Butler. He was part of the 2017 flag but were left out in the key stages of this season. And there's been a few others that have gone past him. You see Shea Bolton, even Marlon Pickett and Sydney Stack played ahead of Dan Butler this year. So he's been left to play in the VFL by the Tigers. Talk about clubs coming after him. The Saints are keen, but he fits further down their pecking order. So I think he's worth more than a pick 50 or 60, but it's just the goodwill that the Tigers have shown. They've done it before, and I can see why they're doing it again. For Dan Butler, to let him continue his career at another footy club. Thanks for your call. Paul's with us in Coburg. Good evening, Paul.
How you going, man?
Well,
I'm
thanks.
Just curious about... I'm curious about Essendon's entire approach to this. Like, I hope we keep Danaher, but if we have to move him on, then I really hope... I'd like Josh Jenkins at the club. But the whole Andrew Phillips thing mystifies me. Like, they're looking at... they're looking at Mason Cox for a key forward when they should be looking at Josh Jenkins, and then they're looking at Andrew Phillips when they should be looking at Mason Cox. It seems very moneyball to me. Like, it's confusing. I mean, we've already got Zach Clark. What do we need with another guy who's played 40 games in 8 years?
Yeah, so Zach Clark yet to be offered a contract for next year. So they've got Bell Chambers and Sam Draper currently contracted at the footy club. I think, you know, they're looking at Andrew Phillips as that third prong. If they bring Phillips in from Carlton, he's only been offered 1 year. They've now got Mark Pitno, who's set to join behind Cruiser. So Phillips will get nudged out most likely at the Blues. He's got an offer he's weighing up from the Bombers right now. Bell Chambers' time is ticking at Essendon. That's why they've shown so much faith in Sam Draper. It is a bit of money ball, but they see maybe that Andrew Phillips can provide them something on not too much money as good backup. But I'm probably more with you. I think Josh Jenkins would appeal more as that player who could play key forward and a bit more ruck than the need for another ruck. But clearly they've got some doubts over Bell Chambers' longevity and Sam Draper coming back from that ACL. Thanks for your call. 1-300-736-736. We'll chat some more. Eddie Betts after the break. Danaher, Bradley Hill, Jack Stephen, Tom Papley. It's all up on the menu on Time on Trade.
You're listening to Time on Trade.
The Monopoly game at Mac.
You're listening to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary. A trade news update for Tinter Car. Tinter Car, darkest legal now from $295.
Channel 7 reporting a bit of an update in the Bradley Hill deal. Could be a saint as early as tomorrow. So we'll bring you the details on that. We're just chasing those up out the back. But sounds like good news between the Saints and the Dockers. They may have reached a bit more of an agreement or an agreement in principle on Bradley Hill. For those that have just joined us, Eddie Betts officially back at Carlton 6 years after he walked out as a free agent to the Crows. He returns a one-year deal. The Crows get a future fourth-round pick. James Aish, he's weighing up a three-year offer currently from Fremantle, so it's a one-year extended out to 3 years at the Dockers that he is tonight weighing up. Zach Smith agreeing to a two-year deal at Gold Coast, expecting a trade to go down between the Suns and the Cats tomorrow. And a bit more of other news, Mark Pitney, the Hawthorn ruckman, has accepted or agreed to a two-year deal at Carlton. A deal now needs to be struck between the Blues and the Hawks. We'll take a couple more of your calls before the hour is out. Tony's with us in East Bentley. Tony, good evening.
G'day, Mitch. The Channel 7 report may have stolen the thunder. If I was the Saints, I would take pick 18
Josh Bruce to the Bulldogs for their 13. Take 13 to Port Adelaide for Howard, Ryder, and the second round pick that comes back. That second round pick goes for Zach Jones, and number 12 I'd offer for Hill, and a future second round pick. And if they don't like that, I'd give a blank check to Tom Phillips at Collingwood.
Oh, you've confused me with the amount of clubs you've included, but all I'll say at the end of that point is Tom Phillips is a gun. I reckon clubs should be asking the question. A matter of whether Collingwood would let him go would be another issue. He's just signed a three-year deal at the Pies. Thanks for your call. Jai's with us in Brighton. Good evening, Jai.
Good evening, Mitch. I've just got a question about the Danaher situation. With do you reckon there's any chance that Sam Reid or McCartan could be a part of the deal? Because if McCartan was to come here, we could put him in the back line and then put Hooker forward. See anything happening?
I think Reid would be a great addition. I think that's one player that the Bombers should be looking and asking the question of. I just can't see Sydney relenting on Tom McCartan. He's had 2 years. He's had 2 years now at the Swans. They see a big future for him as a forward or a backman. So unlikely they'll let him go, but I think Sam Reid would be one that the Swans would at least consider. If they're bringing Danaher in, maybe Sam Reid. I just haven't been able to gauge whether the Bombers have got any interest. Just an update, this Channel 7 report on Bradley Hill, all thanks to Tintacar. Visit tintacar.com.au, now offering open pay, tint now and pay later. Colin Young, being Bradley Hill's manager, flew to Melbourne today, met with both clubs, expecting paperwork to be lodged tomorrow morning. No details on the specifics of the trade, but we believe that it is moving. So Bradley Hill could be a Saint and unveiled as early as tomorrow at Moorabbin. We'll have a quick look. One more call. Todd's with us in Coffs Harbour. Good evening, Todd.
Oh, good evening, Mitch. I just wanted to mention a couple of things as a long-term Swans fan. I think, I suppose, with you sort of half mentioned in one of the previous calls there, that I think Danaher's too big a risk to give up too much. And I definitely wouldn't think that it'd be good to be considering the likes of some of those other younger guys that have really come through and shown their potential this year. I just think that it's too much of a risk. And if the deal falls over, let it go and let him prove that he can get back on the park next year before we give everything up.
I'm with you. I reckon if I'm the Swans right now, and I'm not giving up two first round picks, especially one being pick five for Joe Danaher, I'm letting him go back to the Bombers for a year, get these gun kids through, get two kids inside the top 10, and then pay through the roof next year for Joe Danaher. Offer him a contract that the Bombers can't match. You'll get him for free. You're probably closer in the flag window in 12 months' time anyway. That's what I'd be doing if I'm the Swans, but they have made the running right now. They want him for this season, so they do need to try and get a deal done. Thanks for your call. Have a look at the power trade for Makita's cordless power garden range, the landscaper's choice. Papley, Danaher, they're the deals we're waiting on, but as Channel 7 is reporting tonight, a big update in the Bradley Hill deal. His manager Colin Young, flying to Melbourne, has met with both the Saints and the Dockers, expecting paperwork to be lodged tomorrow morning. No details on the specifics of the deal, but it looks like a deal has been struck in principle to send Bradley Hill from the Dockers to the Saints. He's going to be playing on a multi-year deal up to 5 or 6 years at $900,000 a season. That's all for Makita's cordless Bauer garden range, the world's largest range, over 200 tools on one battery. That's it for me today. Don't forget, every team is back in the game on the trade game tonight, 7:30 on 7, mate. Check your local guides. For now, though, we'll keep the action coming on Trade Radio. We're down to 2 days to come. Danaher, Hill, Papley, still plenty of deals to get done. Keep sticking with us on Telstra Trade Radio. I'll speak to you tomorrow.
You're listening to Time on Trade.